All right, Psalm 23. I'm going to preach something, just a simple thought tonight. When the shepherd makes you lay down. When the shepherd makes you lay down. Psalm 23, beginning verse number 1. You notice that the word of God does say this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Father, tonight, I pray you encourage someone, strengthen someone, and give greater faith to someone by the preaching of the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing. We see here, you know, many things that God does. You know, a lot of, you know, we are able to serve God by choice. From as far back in memory, you can see different times in the Bible, he says, choose. He says, turn. He gives us options. But we see something here in this particular passage regarding God's children. There are times when God actually makes us do something. And as his children, the Bible says that there are times as his sheep, and he is a shepherd, that he makes his sheep to lie down. And there's a good thing about that. I know as a parent sometimes, and having several children, there are times that you actually have to make them do some things. There's many times, if you can, you allow them to make some choices. But there comes a time that for their good, you make them do some things. And God is the same way. And many times in our life, God is making us do something. And we can be frustrated. We can be disappointed. Instead of realizing that what God is actually trying to do. Now, it tells us in verse 2 that the place he's making us lie down is actually a green pasture. A green pasture for a sheep, by the way, if we continue to think of ourselves as sheep, you know, life will be a lot easier for us. Because, you know, one thing about a sheep is this. Sheep aren't very strong, are they? Sheep don't really defend themselves, do they? Sheep don't really labor for themselves. If you really think about the comparison what God made us as sheep, think of how much less you have to do, and how much less power you have to have, how much less strength you have to have, and how much you could actually take off yourself and just trust God for if we just remember, hey, we're sheep. You know, but sheep in the pasture, the shepherd makes them lie down, but it's a place of rest, maybe walking several miles, and it's also a place to get strength as they get nourishment from eating grass in a green pasture rather than a burnt up pasture. So it's good to have some green grass if you're a sheep. You know, you like to eat that stuff. And a place of recovery. They've been traveling different for a long journey. And just to lie down, to let your muscles recover and re-strengthen. And a green pasture will also be a place of peace. A place where you just take it easy. You know, like I said the other day, when we're depressed, we want sleep. But what a child of God really needs is rest. And God wants us to rest, and God will actually make his sheep to lie down, if the Bible is true, and that's what David said, so that he can actually accomplish what he wants to do in their life. The word make, as you probably know by definition, the word means to compel. I like the way it's written here, to drive or urge with force or irresistibly. So God irresistibly, you know, when God really wants to do something, you can't resist it, you know. It's like a parent with a young child. You know, if there comes a time he really wants him to do something, there are certain things he can have that child do. And it says to necessitate either by physical or moral force. So God will make his sheep either by physical or moral force. We'll explain that a little bit in a moment. To make us lie down so that he can allow us to rest, to get more strength, to get more, to recover from something, or actually just to have peace. It also means constrain. Same application, really, but it means to exert force, either physical or moral, even urging to action or restraining it. So God, by his constraining, by his making, he will urge us to do something or hinder us from doing something. Now, to really understand, to appreciate, I should say, when God makes you lay down, number one, I want you to talk about the character of the shepherd. The character of the shepherd. Hold your place here. And turn to John chapter 10 just for a moment. We just look at a couple of simple verses here. Talk about the character of our shepherd that's making us to lie down. first thing in John 10, verse 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." That means they came to get something from the sheep. "But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's Satan's mandate. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So the shepherd, when he enters your life, enters your presence, when he comes to make you lie down, he's trying to not only just let you have life, but he's trying to accomplish something more abundant than you could ever picture and can imagine. In fact, the Bible tells us, "Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think." And sometimes the only way he can accomplish that is by making us to lie down. And we also see here in verse number 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So God's character is such that we come. Okay, we two or three gather together tonight for his name's sake. Jesus is in the midst, according to what we, if we believe the Bible. So he's come that you might have life and you might have more abundantly. And he's come that you, and his nature is he gave his life for you. So understand, he's not like the thief that comes to steal from you. Many times we have difficulty trusting God. We feel like God has taken something away from us. Many times when he's making us, constraining us to do something. But that's the thief. That's not God. God doesn't steal. The thief cometh to steal and to kill. We feel like, well, man, my dreams just died. God, I can't do this because of God. Well, no, God's rescuing you from something, because he didn't kill anything, and it says, and to destroy. If I serve God this way, man, it's just all whatever, it's not going to happen. Now, physically, you may go through some difficulties, but that's different then. Because, see, God is not so much interested in us having great physical opportunities as he is spiritual opportunities. Because God, like any good parent, wants their children to have temporal, does not want to value the temporal over the eternal. Godly parents, when they're right with God, they try to prepare their children in such a way that they can receive blessings that don't just last for a few moments in time. They try to teach them values and principles that will last them eternally, and as long as they walk the face of the earth. That's the character of our shepherd. So you have to keep that in mind when God is making you to lie down. Number two, we see the concern of the shepherd. Well, when the shepherd makes you lie, you think about the shepherd as a whole. What is he really trying to accomplish? What is his concern for you? Like I said, he's not really concerned about the greatest of physical circumstances, so to speak, because that does not necessarily make us people that glorify God. And that does not necessarily make us people that really have peace and rest. Because there are many people that have great physical circumstances that still have lives of great turmoil internally. And the first concern that I wrote down, number one, is that you may be faithful. That you may be faithful. That's God's concern. And he makes us lie down so he can be more faithful. As you know, John chapter 6 and verse 29, the Bible says that the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, as verse 58, that God wants us to always abound in the work of the Lord. So God wants us to be faithful and to be more faithful. So when God makes you lie down, sometimes he makes me lie down, he's trying to accomplish that we might be more faithful, that we might abound in our faith. And when God constrains us or compels us to do something, that puts us in a situation to where we get more faith. We have to trust him more. We have to believe in him more. And again, the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. You know, because there are times when everything's going great physically or even financially or whatever the case may be, there's not as much dependence upon the Lord and needing something. But in those times when God makes me lie down, stops me, constrains me, or compels me to go forward, like we're talking about, well, we're praying when someone has some enemies. That's compelling to go the extra mile, you know. And I've been compelled in that manner. And it compels you to reach down deeper and to pray, and as we heard prayer offered up, through Christ, and without those things, and you find out later that you can actually, you know, did you ever think, if you're saved tonight, did you ever think that you would not only pray for your enemies, but you would actually have a heart that really is concerned for them? I remember you lost hearing about praying for your enemies. I know it's always a good thing to do, but I'm not really going to care about them. You know? But once you really take on the Christian mandate and God presses your faith, you find yourself not just praying for them, but there's times you'll actually weep over an enemy. And you get to the place and you realize that God brings out a character in you, and you understand in those tears, you understand that's how Jesus died. Jesus died for those that mocked him and cursed him and spit upon him. So concern is that you may be faithful. Second concern I wrote down, that you may be fruitful. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, when he purges something, he's making something happen to that tree. He's removing something. He's taking something away. And many times when God purges me, he makes me do something. He restrains me from doing something. And he does it so that I can bring forth more fruit, because that is his concern. Because whatever, he always wants you again to abound in him, abound in the work of the Lord. And he's working on those attributes to make me more like him. Next thing we see, his concern is that you may be fearless. That you may be fearless. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We see the disciples here in a situation. And God is trying to get them to be strong people of faith. And many times God makes us lie down. And he does that so that we might be a fearless generation of people. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. So, okay, wait a minute. The ship's not going the direction they want to go now. The storm is taking over. God's making something happen. Now he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought he was like the thief. See, the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. So he responds to me, Master, there's a storm out here. Is there anything he wants to do, or do you want to just lay down here and sleep with you? if they understand the care of the shepherd, if they understand his character, hey, he's not coming to destroy us. I mean, he's seen the peace right now, and he's God, so it must be all right. Let's see if he wants us to do something, or he wants us just to follow his example. He says here, care so not that we perish, and he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now by this interruption, their fear is going to, by them placing a situation to be fearful, to confront their fear, they're going to find out something about God that if they go through something later, they realize they don't have to be fearful. But God made them lay down. He made their direction change. He made them not be able to travel in the way that they wanted to be able to travel, so that he could do something in their life, so he could cause them to be fearless. Because they're going to find out, hey, this is a different kind of man. This is a man unlike any other. This man, when he speaks, the wind and the sea obey. I think I can trust this one. Amen. This is the Lord. Amen. Next thing I wrote down, that you may really know him. In John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and thou hast sinned. When you come to end of yourself to be saved, and you finally understand the whole principle of all that is that God wants you to really know him. And God puts a brakes on life. In fact, turn to Exodus chapter 20. See a principle in Exodus 20. But God, because again, he's concerned about us knowing him. And one of the ways he makes us lay down is by his commands. In Exodus chapter 20, Ezekiel. I'm going to say Ezekiel. I got the E right. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 12. He said, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths." Now, Sabbaths were holy days that God gave to his people. He says, "To be a sign between me and them." Notice this purpose here. "That they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them." See, a Sabbath is a day of rest. A Sabbath is a day that, you know what happens? God makes you lie down. On the Sabbath day, you're supposed to stop from what you normally do. And the purpose was that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. Now, if I asked you a question tonight, and if I said, "Is God the Lord?" Now, I think intellectually and academically, especially those who know Christ, we'd all say God is the Lord. But what happens is, the more times God makes you lie down, you know what you find out about the Lord? You find out more what God is actually the Lord over. Because there's a lot of stress that goes on in this room right now because of people that don't believe God is really the Lord over this situation, or the Lord over this, the Lord over that. We say he's the Lord, that means the master. See, the disciples found out, man, he's the master of the wind and the sea. Just by a spoken word, man, I knew he was the master. They called him that, didn't they, on the boat? They said, "Master, care us not that we perish." But they found out, hey, there's something about the master we didn't know. If he just speaks, the wind and the sea will do what it says. And they found that out because the shepherd made them lie down. That's why we have holy days. That's why we have Sabbath. That's why we have the Lord's Day. So we have a time where we just slow down and just stop. And we can just find out more about the Lord. Next thing, last thing I wrote down, the concern of the shepherd is that you may be fishers. In Matthew chapter 4, you turn there, I can probably quote it by the time you get there. But if you want to mark it down, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know, God has concerns that we'll be greater fishers. And so God has concerns that we'll be faithful. God has concerns that we'll be fruitful. God has concerns that we'll be fearless. So many times in the Bible, he said, fear not, neither be discouraged. He's that we'll be familiar with him, or that we know him, and he has concerns that we'll be fishers of men. And based on his concern is why he causes you and I and makes us lay down. Because a good parent, if they have concern for their children, they will stop them in their tracks so that something profitable can be accomplished in their life. Now, I wrote in here, so the last thing is the compelling of the shepherd. Since to make means to compel, how does God compel his sheep? Well, we mentioned one already, by his commandments. Because we said that part of being made is by moral force. So by the commandments of God, God compels his sheep. Yeah, remember, he forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. There's times that I'm sure you look forward to coming to church, but there are some times that you're probably tired and don't really feel like coming, and you say, you know what? I'm coming because God told me. Hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you smiling now. Praise God. So God, by his commandments, compels us. The one we read in Exodus, he gave them Sabbaths, commands, so they would know who he was. God, other ways, well, he commands us to pray, that men are always to pray, not to faint. Pray without ceasing. When you pray, you stop what you're doing. You focus your attention upon heaven. Those commandments cause you, and when God speaks those things to you, your will wants to do something, but then that moral force says, no, I better obey God. And though you really want to do something, you know, you're compelled. God makes you lay down. And he does that so he can make you more faithful, more fruitful, more fearless, and more familiar with him, and to be a better fisher. One of the other ways he compels his sheep is he may, by touching your health. God will touch your health in such a way where you can't do something. We see that in Job. You know, God did a great work in Job's life by touching his health. He made him lay down. He made it where he couldn't do something. John chapter 9. Turn there for just a moment. We see how God works in works through health and different situations. In John chapter 9, in verse number 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." So God, this man was blind. He had a health problem. He was blind. He was stopped. Nobody did anything wrong, but his health was touched so that the works of God can be manifest or known. And God will touch your health sometimes. He'll touch my health sometimes. Call me to make me to lie down. You know, when we were coming back from the meeting in Iowa, and of course, that's when the sickness began in us, and even being made to lie down. I pretty much keep going. I was one of the days, the second day when we had the extra night, I just slept the whole day and allowed me to rest, allowed me to recover. I spent a lot of time in prayer. But every time I woke up, I would pray. And then as it was drifting out, I stopped and prayed and thought about needs of other people. God calls me to lie down, and I began to think about him. He made that happen to me. And it was good for me. But it caused me to be more faithful in prayer, to think about more of the needs of other people more. And one of the things I do whenever I can't sleep, I just start praying for people because it causes me. And God touches your health. Next thing, he'll touch your wealth. If God touches your wealth, guess what? There's a lot of things you just can't do. You know, I always say when you're broke, the decisions are easy. You know, it's rent and food. You know, and that's about it. You know, yeah, saying, you know, should we go down to, should we go to the movies? Should we go, buy a new car? Can we go buy, no, your decisions are easy. You know, and many times God touches your wealth because that makes you lie down. Because when you have money, guess what? There's nothing wrong with being able to do things, but a lot of people, a lot of money, just go, busy. But something, God touches your wealth so you don't have anything to do except but have him. That's not a bad thing. Again, because God's concern is that you be fruitful, that you be faithful, that you be fearless, that you know him, and that you be a fisher. And so God touches your wealth sometimes, so you can't do anything except but serve him. You know the greatest thing about being a servant of God? That's the only thing you can always consistently do without money or resources. As long as you have a voice, you can go tell somebody about Christ. I've heard people that don't even have a voice that just go somewhere and pass out tracts, you know, and just tell them. Can't even say a word. But just, I was listening to a story one day. Was the guy deaf? And he went to the store, and they would tell the story. He knocked on the door, he had a gospel tract. And he couldn't even speak, but he pointed to the track and asked people to read the track. They had to read the track, and they read the track, and he kept waiting, and they read the track, the whole thing, and he just kept waiting. And people actually ended up getting saved right there. And he couldn't talk and say anything, but he just held the track and had him do it, you know, and was able to do something significant. And you don't need resources, you don't have any ability. The gospel ministry, we can all do it. All you have to do is be saved and know it. He tells somebody what happened to you, amen. And but God touches your wealth, and sometimes it'll touch your circumstances. Just like we see in the life of Job, the disciples on the boat. You know, even me trying to get back here, one, God touched my circumstances and caused me to have an extra day of prayer and just resting. Because of the highway, the traffic condition, he made me lie down. You know, whenever I go to meet, I'm fired up. I'm ready to get back and go do something. You know, but God, he made me lie down. He touched my circumstances. He said, "You're not going anywhere. No matter what you want to do, you're not going anywhere. You're staying right here because I said so." He made it happen, you know. I never forget when I was looking for a place to train for the ministry, and I wanted to go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and because that's where I'd gotten saved, and I tried everything I knew how to do to move back, and we found a church that we could train in. I thought this would be great, be back in the city we love, and God made it so that not one single thing would work out for me to move. I mean, I've never had a problem finding a job in my life until then. I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find an apartment. I couldn't find. There was absolutely not one thing that worked out. And I said, "You're not going. Just be still." You know. And for a time, and you know, and he worked through circumstance for a time. Susan didn't want to go anywhere. And I thought, "Oh man." And I realized later it was for me. I thought, well, how come she won't do this? How come she won't do that? You know, I said, "Lord, I know you want me to do this. How come she's not?" And finally he said, "It's because you're not." He finally got me to realize that he was making me to lie down. He touched my circumstances, you know, so that I could not go anywhere. Hey, Balaam's ass. He went to him. He wouldn't. He was trying to go. The ass just stopped. Wouldn't go anywhere. He touched his circumstances. Finally, the ass just sat down and saved Balaam's life. God made him lie down, you know. Hey, Deuteronomy 8. Turn there just for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In fact, I think Larry mentioned this the other day when we, as I mentioned, when we went to get our paperwork renewed, I lost my keys, my car keys for the first time in my life that I can remember. And so we ended up stuck in there having to spend a night in Buffalo. I'm taking Graham back 3 o'clock in the morning. And Larry was telling a story about something, somebody was complaining about something, all different things that God could have used that for to save our life here, save our life there. All different types of things. God made us. He made us lie down. Now, we had our plan. We're going to do this, do that. And God said, no, you're not. He made us lie down. He used me to do it. I wish he'd have did it some other way, but God knows better than me. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, notice what it says in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. You may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So you know he allowed it to happen so they would know what was in their heart. Because notice how it's written there, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. So you know whether you're going to... God allows you to go through some things sometimes to find out if you're really going to be faithful. And he makes you lie down to prepare you so that when you get into something really difficult, you know where your heart's at. You know what you need to do. And he says in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee, that means allowed here, suffered thee to hunger, not starvation, but hunger, there's a difference. And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, notice his intention, that they might make thee know, but he might make thee know, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So God, he touches your circumstances. He touched their circumstances. He allowed them to hunger, so they could know that you don't live by food only, but you live by every word that was seen in the mouth of God. He told them in verse 4, their raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Didn't have a foot problem, didn't need any new shoes walking all around. And he compelled them. He touched their situation. So God compels his servants different ways. He uses commandments. He may touch your health, may touch your wealth, and he touch your circumstances, and maybe other ways that you can think of. But basically what I'm saying is, there are going to be times in your life where you don't really understand why, but God just puts the brakes on you. And first thing I would encourage you to remember is that you're a sheep. And the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And sometimes the shepherd makes the sheep lie down. And if you think for a second, okay, wait, I have a good shepherd. He gave his life for me. And he made me lie down. If you stop and take a look around, you might just recognize you're in a green pasture. And you might recognize that you got something to praise God for, that you're actually in a pretty good situation. And you think, wow, and take some time and sniff the grass and get a fresh mouthful, amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know? But see, this is, again, talking about being still. Our whole world is about go, 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 go. See, this is a disturbing message, and it would it would be a disturbing message to the world, because the world says, "Ain't nobody gonna make me do anything." As a child of God, we can't say that. We just the sheep. He makes them do some things, it's amazing. You think about that. That's one of the fears of sheep. Fear of just being restrained, that we might not be able to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. But we see, hopefully you see tonight, that God makes you lie down so you can be more faithful, more fruitful. Anybody like being afraid? Anybody enjoy fear? I don't know. I mean, people, I guess maybe people roller coaster than bungee jumping and stuff like that. I don't enjoy that kind of stuff. You know, I remember when I was youth pastor, I got on the Batman ride, this 6-mile-an-hour roller coaster, man. And I'm thinking, I never screamed like that in my life. I don't hope this is offensive, but I screamed like a girl. I was hollering the whole time. You know, I did scream with some bass, mind you, but I was screaming and terrified. I'm thinking, I mean, you're hanging outside going 6 miles an hour, and I got that thing, and you're walking like this, and I thought, that was stupid. Who wants to do that? Basically, I don't like fear. And God knows his children don't like it. It bothers, you know, if you've ever been a parent, and some of you that watch children, have you ever seen a child terrified? Man, it hurts your heart. And God, you know, you think you're afraid. You know, I was thinking today, I almost preached on fear tonight, because probably one of the two greatest hindrances in going forward for God is fear, and I think bitterness would be the, well, I have you put them in priority, fear and bitterness. But, man, just being afraid to trust God. And God, if you just remember that when your life seems like it, sometimes it's like it's not going anywhere, again, you might just be in a green pasture. So if you're saved, start there. Remember, hey, saved by the grace of God. So I've got a good shepherd. And do you realize that even chastening is a way to put you in a green pasture? A good parent, why do you discipline your child? Why do you stop them from trying to being a rebel? So they won't destroy their life later. Or fear I'll get killed doing something ridiculous. So the good parent makes his child lay down. In the world, they make him go in time out, whatever, you know. There's other, you may use some other ways to do it. Biblical ways. So, but you make it happen because you know what? You think, if that child continues the way it's going, it's not going to what? It's not going to have a very fruitful life. And so you make it do some things that it does not want to do so they can have a fruitful, happier life. And God does this same thing for you. That's why God, the perfect parent, told us how to raise our children. So just want to encourage you tonight. I hope you take some time to meditate on those thoughts. And so, again, I just read Psalm 23 again and close that we started. If I can find it. Funny how you can have the books of the Bible memorized and just draw a blank on you up here. So, Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me." Keep that in mind. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Can you think for a second, why would a sheep have to be made to lie down in a green pasture? Sheep are dumb. Anybody ever look back on some decision you made against God and think, man, that was stupid? I'm raising my hand up. You don't have to raise your hand, but I raise my hand up. I think, man, that was dumb. I knew better. And then you realize God made me lie down in a green pasture. So, Father, tonight, I pray you help your children. Pray you help me. I thank you for being a God that loves us enough to make us do some things against our will. And I pray that you'll help us understand, you know, but Lord, I pray, I think about this tonight. You do make the sheep lie down in green pastures, but you never said you'd make them eat it. So Father, I pray that when those of us that are your sheep get in a situation where you make us lie down, that we'll take time to take inventory where we're at and we'll eat the green grass and we'll realize the privilege that it is to be cared for by you as a shepherd. And we'll trust you to do whatever work you're trying to do in our life. Father, I just praise you again that you're a good shepherd. I ask you to forgive me the times that I've doubted your goodness, the times I doubted your provision. And Lord, I just thank you for every good thing you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.